I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This football story starts on the 9th of September 2021. That night, the US men's national team plays an important World Cup qualification game versus Honduras. A teenage striker makes his debut for the US. His name is Ricardo Pepi. The US is struggling in that game. They concede a goal in the first half and the pressure starts to mount. In the beginning of the second half, Miles Robinson equalizes for the US. But the US needs more. They need a win. It's a hard-fought, competitive game. Then, in the 75th minute, DeAndre Yedlin crosses the ball into the penalty box. Ricardo Pepi jumps up, higher than any defender from Honduras. Pepi heads the ball in and puts the US in the lead during his debut for the country. This is the story behind one of America's biggest football talents. My name is Sam van Raalte and welcome to the Home of Football. Ricardo Pepi made a massive move from FC Dallas in the MLS to FC Augsburg in the Bundesliga in January. The German club paid over 16 million euros to sign the young striker. We had the opportunity to meet Pepi in Augsburg, so we flew over there and met him in his apartment in the city center.
Hello, how are you?
What did you have for breakfast today?
I had some eggs and some bread, some cheese.
I saw in a video that your little brother used to...
He used to cook for me. Yeah, for sure.
Diego, right?
Yeah, Diego.
Ricardo Pepi has an interesting story. He grew up in San Elizario, a city in the south of El Paso, Texas. It's very close to the border between the US and Mexico. Both his parents are from Mexico, and a lot of his family lives there, across the border. So, when he was younger, Pepi traveled across the border all the time to visit his family in Mexico. San Elizario is in the middle of the desert. It's a unique place to grow up, and it shaped Ricardo Pepi as a child. So that's where we started our conversation, in San Elizario.
Yeah, San Elizario, you know, let's talk a little bit about it. So it's a small town, you know, in El Paso. I grew up there, my siblings grew up there. My parents moved from Mexico to the, you know, furthest town down El Paso. I don't know what the reason was behind that. Obviously, I think it was because it was a little cheaper, but you know, it's a place where everyone knows each other. You know, I know my neighbors. I still know them nowadays. My mom always keeps in contact with all the neighbors around, and you know, I know everyone around there. I used to live in a trailer back then, so you know, my dad decided to build a house for us. You know, but it's just a little place in a little town where, you know, like I said, everyone knows each other, and you know, there's a lot of humble people and a lot of, you know, friends and family around there.
So your dad built a house there. What does the house look like?
The house is It's a two-story house right in the middle of our land. It's probably one of the biggest houses around my street. My dad made it. He built it himself with my grandpa, with some friends. So they put it up together. But yeah, I feel like it's made out of wood. You know, right now we're still finishing some details up on it. And yeah.
Cool. So let's talk a little bit about your father. Can you describe his character?
Yeah, my father's name is Daniel Pepe. His character, he's a little aggressive, I say. You know, he's a person who he always works hard, you know, ever since, you know, I was born, my siblings were born, you know, supporting my mother, taking care of all her family. You know, my grandpa recently passed away, so he's the one who's taking care of all of us, you know. He's taking care of my grandma, my uncle, my aunt, you know, so he's the one who's working out. He's always just out late. He works from 9 a.m. to like 12 a.m. So, you know, he's working long shifts. And, you know, he's always been a dad who's been there supporting me. You know, he's always giving me the opportunities to be where I am now. And he's made a lot of sacrifices for me and for my siblings.
What's his profession?
He's a construction worker. He's a superintendent for a construction company.
So your father, especially in the first part of your career, when you started playing football, played a massive role, right? What was his role back then, and what was he like as a coach for you?
Yeah, my father's role back then, you know, he was my coach from when I was 3 years old to when I was like 10, 11 years old. You know, he was always, you know, when I first started playing soccer, I was 3, I was 4 years old, and he knew that, you know, it was my sport. You know, he knew that I wanted to do something to do with soccer. You know, I wanted to play soccer. And growing up, he just, you know, he had the patience, because it's not easy. You know, it's not easy as a coach getting to train a 3-4 year old, you know, who doesn't even know how to kick a ball. So, you know, I'm really glad he had the patience to deal with me. But yeah, no, he was the one who introduced me to the sport. He was the one who trained me till I was 10, and he had a major role in my soccer career for sure.
What kind of tricks did he pull to, you know, keep you motivated?
I remember some of the toughest ones were, for sure, you know, after a game, if I wasn't playing well, or if it looked like, you know, I didn't want to play, he would always take me out the field, no matter who the coach was. He would always take me out the field, take me home, and the whole car ride back home, he would start screaming at me. He would start telling me that if you don't want to play, don't waste my time, don't waste my money. And when we got home, he would always just like make me take my uniform off and throw it away to the trash.
Wow.
You know, and some people can say, you know, it's crazy, you know, because your father, you know, that's very disrespectful or whatever. But I feel like it really made me and gave me some personality and gave me a strong mindset.
And what can you tell us about your mother?
No, my mother, I feel like, you know, she's a very special woman. You know, she's a very special woman to me and to everyone around my family. You know, she's very sweet. You know, she's very caring. She worked with my grandma taking care of her for about just 12, I think it was like 8-10 years. She's always been there for me as well, you know, for me and my siblings. She does anything she needs to do for my siblings and for myself, you know. So she's always been there around me, and she's always been there supporting me. And she was the first one who decided to move to Dallas when I first moved.
So when it was match day at home, you know, your whole family helped you prepare, right? What was everyone's role, and how did they help you?
Yeah, on a match day, you know, at the Pepe's family house, you know, it was a little special, you know, because maybe on a Saturday I wasn't the only one who had a game. You know, maybe it might have been my brother who had an earlier game before me, and my sister got into the sport a little bit, so she had some games too. So, you know, we were always just helping each other out. My mom made us all breakfast. You know, we would all sit at the table together, talk about, you know, what we wanted to do in the game, you know, what we were thinking about the game, and if we were ready, just basically just preparing each other for the game. When my parents weren't around, you know, it wasn't only at match days, but my mom used to work every single day of the week, and my brother was always just around cooking for me. If he didn't have a game, he was the one waking up early and waking me up and make sure I had breakfast on the table and make sure I was ready to compete at my highest level.
I also called Daniel Pepe, Ricardo's father, to get his perspective on the career of his son and how Ricardo developed as a kid in the world of football. Here's Daniel.
I think he was 4 when he started playing. We actually found a recreational team for him to play, you know, and started with his soccer thing. But one of the things that we used to say, you know, you got to give everything, all you have, when you're playing, just as in life, as in soccer, right? So we would used to tell him that, I would used to tell him that, I mean, soccer's a sport, yes. I mean, sometimes the skills are there, the games. On a game, their skills could be there, and sometimes they cannot. They won't be there, you know. It's just soccer, but the willingness and the 100% that you have to give it all every single match, man, every single day, like in life, So we just try to compare soccer with life a little bit. When he wasn't given 100% of his effort into the games, I would used to pull him out of the games and take him home, told him that he wasn't going to play no more, he wasn't going to be wasting my time or my money, and we used to trash his uniforms and cleats. And I mean, just to kind of like get him into the right mind again, you know, something like that. But we always compare soccer with life, with the everyday life, man.
What does it mean for you now to see him thrive and earn a good contract in Europe? And what does that mean to you? How does that make you feel?
Well, happy, proud. You as a parent, you don't ask for your kid to become a professional player. You ask out of life for him to be a good man, a good person, you know. And I think I got both of them out of him. This was so fast for him, but I mean, I guess the only word is proud.
And what are your hopes for Ricardo in his career?
For him to go as much as he wants to go, you know. I mean, there's a lot of goals that he wants to fulfill, so hopefully he'll get them fulfilled. Yeah. That's mainly. As long as he doesn't lose that path of becoming a good person and a good man.
Growing up at the border gave young Ricardo Pepi a unique perspective on life. When he was young, he would cross the border every weekend to see his family in Mexico. They would go to church together and eat at their favorite restaurant, called El Chivo Rincón.
Yeah, growing up in the border, I feel like it's a very different dynamic, you know. Obviously, I got the experiences, and I was lucky enough to be able to just every weekend cross the border and go eat some Mexican food or go spend time with my mom's side of the family, which is all in Mexico, and I haven't seen in a long time. But, you know, it was always special on, like, Saturdays or Sundays. We would go there at, like, 6 p.m. and stay out till, like, 2 a.m., you know. It was always long days with them. I was just eating, you know, just spending time with the family out there.
What were you eating?
No, sometimes, you know, we would go after church on a Sunday. We would cross the border and we'd go eat some barbacoa tacos. Very good, actually. But sometimes we would just go to my grandma's house in Mexico from my mom's side, and she would cook us some food, some eggs, whatever it was that she was feeling.
What can you tell me about El Chivo Rincón?
I can tell you a lot of stuff about El Chivo Rincón. The main thing I can tell you about it is just how special it is to me and my family. After every church, after every Sunday after church, we would always go there every morning at like 8 a.m., 9 a.m., just go visit, eat some tacos, have some breakfast. And you know, even at nights, you know, we would always go to that place. If we were feeling something, we didn't know what to eat, we always knew that was our go-to. That was always our go-to. And, you know, I was introduced to El Chivo Rincón when I was like 10 years old, that I remember. And ever since then, you know, I haven't been able to been back to it. But as soon as I get the opportunity, I'm going back there for sure.
To someone who's never been there, can you describe the place, what it looks like?
So it's a small restaurant, like literally small restaurant. It's supposed to be like a car garage. So there's like three different car garages on it, and you know, they made them windows, and there's plastic chairs, plastic tables, and there's just a big wall in front of it with the big chivo, which is it's a goat in English, you know. And you know, just like so traditional in Mexico, it's just like everything, it's like street tacos, and they make them right in front of you. They cut all the meat in front of you, and then you ask for the amount you want, and then they just bring it to you right in front of you. So they cook it basically right in front of you. It's so amazing. It's so amazing.
Sounds great, man. Getting hungry.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So you cross the border all the time, you know, and for people who've never been at the border, we see it in movies, and we hear Donald Trump talking about a wall and stuff. So in my mind, at least, it sounds very difficult, you know. But what is it like to cross that border all the time?
Yeah, crossing the border is not like you see it in movies. You know, it's a border that I feel like a lot of people describe it as unsafe, you know, but it really depends where you go. And it's a border that you can cross walking, you can cross by car, but you don't want to do it by car most of the time because it takes about 3 to 4 hours to be able to cross back to the U.S. And, you know, it's just long waits. You know, I remember when I was younger, we were always used to cross, and we would have to wait like 3 or 4 hours to be able to cross back, like maybe on a Sunday night, because everyone was trying to come back to El Paso because they have work the next day. So it's a beautiful border, honestly, and you know, it marks a huge part of my life, and it's very special to all my family.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On the football pitch, Ricardo Pepi developed quickly in San Elizario. He was tall for his age, and his father often let him play with older kids, so he got better and better very quickly. His nickname became El Tren, the train. Scouts started to notice him. When Pepi was 13 years old, he was invited to join North Texas, the development team from FC Dallas. Dallas is still in Texas, but it's a 10-hour drive from San Elizario. It meant Ricardo had to leave his home and family to go live in Dallas, to follow his dream of becoming a professional football player. Ricardo and his family struggled with the move at first.
The struggles I had mentally and the struggles my family had with me moving to Dallas were very difficult ones. You know, mentally, you move away from your family, you don't have that support every day, especially at 13. You know, you don't have your mom to wash for you or to cook for you or to just be able to give you some love, you know? So it was definitely hard, but I feel like it was worth it. And, you know, talking to my mom now, I feel like she was always so sad that I left home, but she was always proud of me. And, you know, every day, I promise you, every day I would get a call from my mom crying on the phone saying that, oh, she missed me so bad and that she wanted me to come back home. And I kept telling her, mom, it's going to pay off at the end, I promise.
So that sounds intense, man.
Yeah, no, it was very hard.
Yeah. So at a certain point, your family even moved to Dallas, right? So what was that whole process? Because that's a big decision and a big move. How did you and your family come to that decision?
You know, it was a very hard decision because my dad had to leave before my, you know, my siblings and my mom, because he had to get everything set up for the family. You know, he had to look for a job. He had to get us an apartment. So basically, we were all split up. You know, I was in Dallas. My dad was in Waco. My mom was in El Paso. So, you know, we're all in three different places, and you know, it was tough for about 3 to 4 months, but we made it happen. We made it, you know, we made it successful, and at the end of the day, it all paid off.
So then you were moving up the ranks at FC Dallas, and then it was time to make your debut for the club. Do you remember what the manager said to you, what your instructions were before you made your debut?
You know, I remember it was versus Toronto, and we were up 3-0, so he was just, you know, go out there, play your game, and show what you can do. And I remember I played for about 10 minutes, and I tried, you know, I was so happy, you know, these emotions that came into me. I was just so excited. There was a lot of adrenaline just running through my body, and it was crazy.
Ricardo Pepi made his debut for FC Dallas in 2019. The next season, he scored his first goal for the club, an equalizer in the dying seconds of a game against Montreal Impact.
There were runners at the back post. The clearance got as far as Cannon. Barrio slides it in front. It's off and draws again.
It was a very unique moment because we were losing 3-1, and you know, the coach decided to put me on the field. He decided to put the trust in me to be able to, you know, I feel like he just had a feeling that I could change the game, you know. And obviously I went into the game, and when I went into the game, he made another sub. So, you know, I feel like it was very calculated. And if I remember correctly, it was a cross from, I think, Reggie Cannon or Michael Barrios. And my teammate, he decided to like backheel kind of the ball and he missed it. But I was behind him, so I just saw the ball coming to me and I knew where the goal was and I just stroked it in the ball, you know, I stroked it in the goal and it was a very special moment for sure. My family was at the game and my grandpa was at the game, so yeah, it was a special, special game.
How did they react?
You know, my mom was about to cry. You know, my mom was about to cry. My dad was about to cry as well. And obviously my grandparents are very happy for me.
Pepe got more and more starts as the striker of FC Dallas in the 2021 season of the MLS. He started to score more and more goals. The highlight came in July 2021, when FC Dallas played versus LA Galaxy.
A ball through for Pepe, and it's four straight home games! All aboard the choo-choo train, Ricardo Pepe, his sixth goal of the season, and just like that, FC Dallas pulls in front.
Pepe broke through LA Galaxy's defense and opened the score. And a little while later, before halftime, FC Dallas got a corner.
Toward the back post, Pepe nods it down, gets it back, and he buries it! A thunderous right foot from Ricardo Pepe. He has the brace for the second time this year and in his MLS career. 2-0 FC Dallas as they double their lead.
And a couple of minutes into the second half, Ricardo Pepe made it a hat-trick.
Blocked but still alive now, Pepe. His third, it's a hat-trick! Ricardo Pepe off the fingertips of Bondin in. Three for the choo-choo train. FC Dallas 3, LA Galaxy 0.
Ricardo Pepe became the youngest player ever to score a hat-trick in the MLS. This is how he looks back at it himself.
Yeah, the day I scored my hat-trick, you know, it was a special day because that was the day my grandpa had passed away. And that day was just, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you, and I was just feeling it. You know, that whole day, the week before the game, I was just like, you know, I'm going to go off this game. I'm going to score a hat-trick. And I told my agent, I told my parents, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go out for a hat-trick. And I was just super motivated. I was just super excited to be able to play in that game and do it for my grandpa.
What happened in your mind then?
No, the things that went through my mind, you know, honestly, I don't realize what I do till like 2 days after the game, you know, because those are moments where like, you don't even know what you did. You just know that you're so excited that you score a goal and that you're able to like, win the game, you know. So every time that something like that happens, you know, I don't really think about it till days after, and I talk to when that's when I get to like just relax and talk to my family about it. And obviously I'm never satisfied with the things I've done, so you know, I don't like to think about it at all.
So last year you were invited to the US national team. Of course you could also have picked Mexico to play for. That must have been a big decision for you. What was your thought process and how did you come to this decision to, you know, play for the US?
It was a huge decision, you know. It was a decision that I had to take ever since, you know, I had to think about it ever since I was 13. I was representing Mexico at first with the U13s, and then I got the opportunity to represent the U.S. with the U16s, you know. So it was a decision that I knew I was going to have to make at some point. Just talking to my family, talking to my agent, talking to my small circle, I feel like I told them, you know, I feel like the U.S. is the best thing for me right now. And obviously they gave me the opportunity to be able to represent them in a World Cup qualifier. So that's a big opportunity that I couldn't let go.
Ricardo Pepe made his debut for the US in September 2021. It was the game against Honduras I talked about in the beginning of this episode. Pepe practically turned the game around all by himself. He made his mark as a top talent on an international level.
Lovely cross, Pepe! Pepe by name and Pepe by nature.
Another cross in. Guess who's on the end of it? Ricardo Pepe, the El Pasoan.
The youthful exuberance of the teenager has fired the Americans into the lead.
He's been doing this in MLS, being a presence in the bus.
Should have graduated from San Elizario High School a couple months ago. And he scored the biggest goal of his life.
Qué golazo acaba de marcar el Pepe. Pepe, 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 Pepe. Pepe.
Yeah, that day in the game versus Honduras, you know, it was a crazy day, you know, it was a crazy day because first of all, I got to start. You know, and obviously a lot of people, or even myself, you know, I didn't think I was going to start, but I was ready for the moment again. But, you know, it was a game where we were going 1-0 down. 1-0 down, and then at halftime we were losing. And then just second half, the team decided to get a spark, and we ended up winning the game 4-1. You know, it was a moment where I was able to help the team get the win. You know, I had a goal. Obviously, of course, a special goal, you know, making my first national team goal, and I was able to get an assist. So it was a different game.
It's crazy. And then a lot of hype starts to surround you, right? You're the youngest guy ever to score a hat-trick in the MLS. You made your debut for the US, scoring that goal. And then a lot of clubs wanted to sign you. There's a lot of interest, a lot of rumors start to play. What was it like for you, and how did you deal with that?
You know, I've talked to my dad, talked to my agent about him, because I'm a big family guy, and I like to talk about all the things that are going through my mind with my people. And I told him, you know, at some point, you just got to get that and embrace it. You know, you got to embrace all the hype. You got to embrace all the people talking about you. If it's negative or not, you know, just leave it. Leave it behind, you know, leave it behind, and don't focus on what people are saying. If it's negative, you know, just focus on yourself. And at some point, you know, there's gonna be a lot of people who are gonna be talking good and bad things. So either you use them as motivation, or you just get killed by them.
So you had a lot of options. How did you come to the decision to sign for Augsburg?
You know, we got on call with Augsburg. They told us their plan for me, and that, you know, they wanted to develop me as a player, and that they thought Augsburg was the next step for me in my career. And I talked to my circle again, and they told me, you know, it's a very risky decision, because you're at a good moment with FC Dallas, and you know, you're comfortable here. But I've always told them, you know, I don't like being comfortable. You know, I like being pushed to my limits, and I know it's going to take a long time to be able to, you know, just adapt to the moment, you know, adapt to the club, and I'm going to do it as fast as I can. But those are decisions that, you know, they're life-changing decisions. You know, you come here, you do get at a club, then obviously you start, you know, getting noticed by a lot of people, a lot of teams. So it was a big decision, and I feel like at the moment it's one of the best decisions I made.
So over the last couple of years, a lot of North American football talents start to come to the Bundesliga, especially, and they thrive here. Was that also something that played in your decision?
We knew that there was a lot of American players that play here in the Bundesliga, and teams like Dortmund, and you know, just all around the league. I talked to some of the players, and they said that, you know, it was a great league for me, and that they could see me playing in the league. So I talked to like players like Weston McKennie, Christian Pulisic, who would always just give me some hints, give me some advice, and just tell me that, you know, I think you would do great in that league.
So then you come from Texas all the way to here, to Augsburg. What are culturally the biggest differences you've noticed so far?
Culturally, I feel like the biggest difference is just the people. You know, the people here in Augsburg are not just Augsburg, but in Germany. They're just so, I feel like people are so strict here, but they're always on time to everything. You know, they're so punctual, and they like to do everything at a certain point, and everything, they follow every single rule. And in Texas, you know, you don't find that. You know, there's a lot of Latinos, and not just only Latinos, but you know, the culture in Texas is a little bit different. They have more flexibility, and I feel like here everyone likes to be pretty straight.
And on the pitch, you know, during the training sessions, what are the biggest differences you've noticed between Augsburg and what you were used to in America?
The biggest differences, I think, on the pitch are the intensity of the game and the speed of play. I feel like those are the two biggest differences that I noticed when I first came here. Obviously, there's a lot of talent in the MLS, but here is just, they're faster, they're more aggressive, and they have more, they're more dynamic.
So last question, what does your European dream mean to you, and when do you think you will have achieved it?
My future is unwritten, you know, I feel like my future is unwritten, and anything I do in the present will write my future. You know, I feel like right now I'm in a team, Augsburg, that I want to make the fans happy, I want to make my family happy, and I want to make the club happy with scoring as many goals as I can and write my own history and make sure that whenever those opportunities come in the future, to make sure I can do the best I can for them. And on a personal level, I feel like playing at the highest level will be when I have achieved my goal, you know, taking care of my family and taking care of future generations that come with my family. I feel like that's when I'll be satisfied with myself, and that I'll be happy with myself, and I would take care of all my family for sure.
That's the story of Ricardo Pepi so far. He grew up in a tight family in San Elizario, near the border between the US and Mexico. His father was hard on him when he was young, but it helped him to become the young man he is today. His mother and siblings were also there for him when he prepared for games as a kid. Ricardo Pepi became a professional at FC Dallas, the club that shaped him in the US. He became a highly rated prospect after his goals for FC Dallas and the US men's national team. And he made a massive, massive move to Europe. Pepi is now just getting started at FC Augsburg in the Bundesliga. I can't wait to see how far he will come. It's been quite the ride so far. I want to thank Ricardo Pepi and his father Daniel for this interview. Follow this podcast in your podcast app to never miss an episode. And if you want to show your support, you can give our podcast lots of stars on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really, really helps us a lot. All right, my name is Sam Verhaalte. Thank you for listening and on to the next story in the home of football.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.